Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, kicking into hour number two, the home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris and Jeff, another 2 hours, and still to come in those 2 hours, not one but two chances to get qualified for the Dr. Pepper perfect season. We've got three more spots to fill. We will do two today and one tomorrow, and then we will have our 23-person field. And next week, it's game week. We'll start the contest, and all season long, 23 will duke it out until there is only one survivor at the end who gets those tickets to the SEC Championship game from Dr. Pepper, the official drink of fans, and $250 cash money from Papa John's Pizza.
The Rose Bowl was on again last night, and I think I've now seen that more times than I've seen Star Wars.
I watched it last night, too, but I turned it out. It was 31-14. I mean, we got no shot, so I started watching Die Hard instead. No, but you know what? That's only the second time I've watched it. I watched it the first time, and then I watched it a little bit last night. I didn't watch the whole thing, but it was McGee, right, who recovered the
Squib Kid?
Yeah.
Tay Crowder. Yes.
Now, I got to say, though, I believe like Lincoln Riley sort of deserves less criticism for that, and Tay Crowder deserves more praise for that, because that was not an onside kick. That was an attempted squib kick that I think the design was for that to end up down and around our 20-yard line, but Crowder just intercepted it, basically. Like, he picked off a pass at midfield.
You know what he did? It's the equivalent of if you've got the infield in against a great hitter, and that shortstop or second baseman – just makes a great play on a bullet.
Yeah.
And that's what Crowder
did. I mean,
honestly,
I think it's one of those like, yeah, okay, I guess they probably should have just, you know, kicked off normally or just kicked it out of the end zone, something like that. I mean, I don't remember what their kicker's touchback numbers were or anything, but ultimately, like, yeah. I mean, basically, like, Tay Crowder, just to me, that was more like he picked off a pass there. It was a squib kick that was designed to probably, you know, go to like the 20 or 30, have – you know, one of our, you know, larger guys up there just field it and probably take a knee or just start running, and the clock would have run out. But, I mean, Crowder made a huge play there.
Well, he certainly did. It was one of the biggest plays of the year. And again, I think Georgia's going to be very good this year. And I'm predicting in 19 or 20 that Georgia win a national title or two. I might get greedy there. But I just also want to caution, Georgia might win every game this year, but we do not need to take for granted, and we know about the leadership from that great senior class with Sony Michel, Nick Chubb in particular, and, of course, Roquan Smith. But for Sony and Roquan in particular, the number of plays they made that turned first downs into touchdowns, that turned negative loss plays into first downs offensively, and then for Roquan Smith, where it looked like the other guy was going to get a first down, and they wound up not getting them. And I just think about Sony, the TD runs he had against South Carolina and Tech, the game-tying touchdown, when he basically got Jake Fromm to check into that running play on 3rd and 8. And, you know, he also had, was it the 75 or 80-yard touchdown run in that game? And then you think about Roquan, the play of the year on the 3rd and 1. And then also on Oklahoma's last possession of regulation, on their 3rd down play from around the 40, they ran a pretty nice wheel route play. It was Roquan Smith that's covering the back. So Georgia's going to be really good. Georgia's going to be really talented. But those two players in particular made a lot of plays where it looked like it was going good for the other team, and it turned out to be good for Georgia.
Yeah, but I felt like rewatching that last night for the first time that Tay Crowder probably deserved more praise for that than Lincoln Riley, I guess, ultimately deserved like scorn, because it wasn't like they just pooched that thing, or I mean, that was like a bullet
that I, you know, the design of that was for that thing to end up like 30 more yards downfield, but Crowder just stepped in there and caught it. So
it's a great play.
And huge, because then Hot Rod hit that 55-yarder. But also, I mean, let's not underrate the 5 seconds left. Georgia was able to hit that pass and bang that timeout too.
Yeah, Kirby was right on top of it, and I guess was that –
he ran down there and yelled at that ref. That's
what Kirk Herbstreit said. He was calling timeout when the ball was still in the air.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Of course he was.
I think – was that Mecole who had that catch? Is that right? Down on the sideline? I think it was
him. I think it was him, yeah. Should remember, I just watched it last night, but I didn't have a good feeling about that. It was 31-14. I went, I might have to turn this off and watch something else.
Well, you talk about another big play, too. When we were down 7 towards the end. I mean, Jake Fromm, the pass he made to Godwin, you know, the pass when he was getting flushed out that he kind of threw sideways to Sony, and he went out for a long run there. And, you know, I mean, another big moment, and we were certainly shell-shocked. And this is one we really had a chance to deliver that knockout blow. And this is an area where Georgia's got to get better this year. At Notre Dame, had the ball 20-19. Mecole Hardman reverses. We're 2nd and 3. Can't get a first down. Punt it back to him. Then we get the, I guess, Bellamy stripped that one and Carter recovered it. And let's remember against Oklahoma, we got the ball back up by 7 points at midfield and didn't do anything with it. And then next thing you know, they go on the quick long goes at 4 plays, 88 yards. Then we fumble and they run it back, and all of a sudden the game changes. That's when you got to put teams away. Now, again, their boys are on scholarship too. Notre Dame and Oklahoma have good players. But one of the – you know, I guess subplots to that win over Oklahoma. Let's not forget, when the Dogs were completely shell-shocked, now all of a sudden down 7, they stopped us. We punt back. The defense came up with a huge stop there to get the ball back down by 7.
Yeah. No, I know. So, but not putting teams away is –
yeah.
I mean, we needed 2 yards to knock out Alabama in that championship game, that 3rd and 2.
Yep.
And still up 20-13 and couldn't get it. And they stopped us, and we ended up having a punt, and they had all that that good momentum, and they, you know, they tied the game.
Calvin Ridley intercepted a pass intended for another Bama receiver.
Yeah. But you get the first down there because they ended up getting the ball back with like 7:10. But you get the ball back there, and I mean, at least you're able to milk another 2 minutes off the clock. Then
they're behind the 8 ball. I mean, and again, obviously Alabama's got great players on that defense. I mean, and you know, and in the end, it just comes down to
the point of, like, you know, delivering that knockout punch, and Georgia did survive it several times during the regular season, but it did eventually catch up to them in what at that point ended up proving to be the most important game.
Yeah, because it you know, survived Notre Dame and survived Oklahoma, but
it was 3rd down and 2 with 7 minutes left and leading by a touchdown, and those would have been 2 big yards if Georgia had been able to pick them up. All right, time for the 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, question number 1. Which fan base will be the first to storm the field this fall?
Well, that's a great question there, Chris. I am going to say if Notre Dame wins, I could see the Irish taking the field because it's against Michigan.
Okay.
But I kind of think Michigan's going to win.
What about, like, Kansas?
If they win a game, I got one for you. I'm going to go in Starkville. Was it September 22nd when Mississippi State beats Florida? They'll take the field.
All right. Well, I'm going to get crazier than that. I'm going to see your September 22nd. I'm going to raise you the week before in Oxford, Mississippi, when Ole Miss upsets Alabama.
Oh!
And the Rebels, they're not going to keep them off the field that day.
If that happens, no, they will not.
Yeah. So I'm going to go week 3. I'm trying to find.
Now, don't get greedy and just bet the money line
No. Okay. I'm already on the 22.5. If anyone's wondering, yes, I've already made a wager for this college football season, and it's the 3rd game of the season. I've got Ole Miss plus 22.5 in Oxford against the Tide, where the Tide have not covered since 2009, and Alabama, with all the holes they've got to fill in that secondary, Ole Miss, they can score some points. Although last year they lost 66-3 to Alabama.
Well, you know, it's a bounce-back year.
Yeah. Well, it's a revenge game
it's
then
a
now.
Vengeance
big
game.
Time. I'm trying to, like, figure out. I don't know what conference they play in, though. I'm trying to see if UTEP might win a game this year because they could storm.
Are they not in Conference USA? Because I think that thing goes from Greenville, North Carolina, to El Paso, Texas.
Okay.
Which is basically from Wilmington on the coast to, you know, Albuquerque.
Yes, UT San Antonio's in that league, too.
Conference USA. Oh, here we go. That's some tough travel.
UTEP went 0-12 last year, so if they beat Northern Arizona week one, they could storm.
Northern Arizona's a pretty good 1AA program.
Yeah. I mean, they could easily lose that game. UTEP's terrible, but do you think, coming off a winless season, if they win that game, and I could see them storming.
Well, when South Carolina went winless, and then what, 1-10? I think they stormed the field when they beat Central Florida to open up maybe the 2000 season.
Yeah,
and they beat us. Quincy threw the 5 picks.
I'm going to say UTEP loses that game. I'm going to stick with my Ole Miss call.
Okay.
Upset Bama.
I'll go with State.
And if they don't but cover, then I'll storm the field. And Allie LaForce can interview me. And why are you running around on the field? Because I covered.
I covered.
Yeah. Although she's gone now.
She's gone.
Who's replacing her? Do we know yet?
I don't know.
That's too bad. I liked Allie LaForce.
She did a good job.
Yeah.
Maybe Michigan fans will storm the field in South Bend if they beat Notre Dame.
I would be for a visiting fan base storming the field.
Happened in 1986 at Auburn.
Exactly. And I guess they taught us a lesson because that hadn't happened since, right?
Water hoses.
Jeff, moving on to the 5-5. Houston Nutt, who is now a TV analyst, put out his list of the top three Heisman hopefuls. Number two on his list is DeAndre Swift.
We're talking you and Houston Nutt back in the same board.
Which brings me to my question. Jeff, is that good or bad for my Heisman future? Now, he's got Bryce Love number one. He plays at Stanford. He's not winning the Heisman. He's going to finish second. But
yeah. Who is his number three?
His number three is Deebo Samuel. I got news for Houston Nutt. A wide receiver at South Carolina will not win the Heisman Trophy.
That would be the long shot of the century. Well, Houston Nutt did win a Cotton Bowl with Ole Miss.
Okay.
And he did have Darren McFadden, Felix Jones, and Peyton Hillis 10-1 at one point, and they wound up 10-4. So, yeah, there's a possibility. Now, let me ask you
this. So I'm not sunk just because Houston Nutt is on the Swift train, too?
Have you ever had a text exchange with 2,500 messages between yourself and a TV anchor?
No. And never the moment before I run onto the field for the start of a game. I haven't had that happen.
Have you even texted Linda 2,000 times in your life?
Probably not. Yeah. No. And I don't like text her, but right before a segment starts.
Hey, sweetie, just thinking about you.
I'm going on the air, and I'm going to deliver for you right now. It's going to be the best segment ever.
It's all for you, baby.
Yeah. No, I don't even do that.
No, I don't think you're sunk. I think Swift's going to have a phenomenal year for Georgia. I really do.
All right. Yeah. I don't like to see, analysts getting all hyped up, though.
Yeah, I think one thing – seriously, for Swift is going to be. I mean, it's not like last year, but Georgia's got a lot of good backs. You know, Georgia's got a lot of weapons, going to spread the wealth. To me, a key is if Georgia does indeed say blow out Austin Peay, Middle Tennessee, and UMass, can he get a long run in the first quarter so that he puts up some gaudy numbers in those? And when I say gaudy, he's not going to win the Heisman just because, if he gets 300 yards against Austin Peay, that's not going to happen. But to where he at least gets over 100 and has a long touchdown run.
Well, what I would like to
my drift there?
Absolutely. Well, it's like last year when Bryce Love threw, how many weeks was it? It was at least through the midway part of the season. He was averaging 10 yards a carry.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah, because he put up 180 on 13 carries against Rice. That's what we're talking about with Swift.
Right.
Something like that against Austin Peay. Then he had Went 13 for 184 against San Diego State, then had 25 for 301 against Arizona State.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's why Arizona State made a coaching change. What is it? God, that's 12 yards a pop with 25 carries.
Yeah. Now, that's what I'm looking for out of Swift, Coach Chaney.
So, Austin Peay, you know, seriously, something like, I mean, 8 carries for 140 yards with a 65-yard TD.
Yeah, to have like just in a ridiculous like per carry average.
Right,
that's what I'm looking for. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Because what you do, I remember when we beat Lou Monroe in 1994. I think that game was 70-6. It might have been Northeast Louisiana at the point, but anyway, you know, Zaire, we were really behind. Eric getting all these passing stats and all that. Well, the way the game started, I think we had a pick six. And we either blocked a punt or ran a punt back for a touchdown. And I think somebody broke a long run. So we were up 21-0. And I think Eric had thrown like one pass. So it was one of those like, golly, we're going to drill these guys. He's not going to get any stats. And he wound up really not.
Yeah.
They had like 140 yards in that game because it was over. Which, again, yeah, obviously you'd take the blowout win. But if you are talking about, I mean, All-American honors, getting in the Heisman race, Doak Walker, that sort of thing. Against the teams you blow out, your guys still need to have some good numbers.
They do have to put up some numbers, yeah.
So, yeah, like if he had, again, between 8 and 10 carries for 130, 140, 150 yards, that's a good start.
Yeah. Like I would take, you know, maybe just a, you know, one quick 75-yard run to start the game and then
be good.
You know, keep them in there maybe one more possession, get them over 100, maybe get them back in the end zone, and then, you know, if you're out there, Coach Chaney.
But I guess he's on the practice field now.
Anyway, you mean they don't blare us out there at practice?
They might.
But anyway, I'm a little worried now that Houston Nutt is also on board the DeAndre Swift train.
Welcome to the Nutt House, baby.
Yeah. Jeff, let's move on now, and let's I want you to power rank for me. Very important position, the quarterbacks that Georgia will face this fall, from best to worst, or, you know, just the one that worries you the most to the one that you're, you know, least concerned with.
I would say Stidham and Locke are probably the best two.
So 1A and 1B.
Yeah. Now, Taquan Marshall's a different animal because they're running the option.
Right.
I think he's very good.
But you
good.
Worry about him, so he'd be third?
I'd say Jake Bentley's very good. And let me give you a little wild card there. Emory Jones from Florida.
Or just whoever's quarterback at the Gators, because
yeah.
They'll be better than
any quarterback
we've seen down there in a while.
I have a feeling it's going to be Emory Jones. You know, the Georgia native with the open date, Mullen trying to get a little magic going there.
What about Kyle Shurmur?
Shermer's solid. I'm telling you, this guy for Austin Peay's good, Jeremiah Oatesvall. He was a second-team all-conference despite only 5 starts.
Uh-oh.
Keep an eye
Watch
on
out.
It. UMass has got a good quarterback, too.
Oh, yeah, well, Mark Whipple, their coach. I mean, he's an offensive guy.
Yeah.
So
I would say, I don't want to say a least worry, then they'll throw for 400 yards on us. It'll be my point. I'll tell you, a team with – I guess, is Tennessee, is it going to be Keller Crist? Is he going to be their guy?
I've been, you know, reading up on some practice updates there. You know, Pruitt isn't said yet, but I think that the feeling I'm getting is that Guarantano still has a good chance to come out of there and maybe be the starter.
And he was a high-profile recruit coming out.
Well, I mean, I know we've talked about this before, but if I was a Tennessee fan, like, I'd prefer the guy who's going to – Yeah, you know, because like Tennessee's not going to be good this year, whoever starts. So
you don't want to go into next year having a third quarterback in 3 years.
Right. I'd rather just have a guy start this year who's got a chance to still be the starter next year and at least gain some experience instead of, you know, the idea of – I mean, Keller Crist is not making the difference for Tennessee somehow.
No, this is not John Elway or Jim Plunkett transfer.
Correct, yeah. I mean, Keller Crist isn't giving them any better chance to beat us, Bama, Auburn, Florida – any of those teams. So,
I mean, Tennessee, of all the teams Georgia plays, because I guess what it'll still be Johnson at Kentucky. He's a big athletic guy. And Tennessee really might have the biggest question mark at quarterback.
Well, Kentucky's got that dude now that transferred from Oregon. He was like the number one JUCO quarterback, Wilson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he might be a dude.
But, I mean, yeah, that's a guy that we don't really know much about. So that's Kentucky anyway. Has like Kentucky ever had a good defense? That's the one. That's one issue with Kentucky.
They did in 1977.
Okay, that was a long time ago.
It did, with Art Still.
They had a good defense since Star Wars was released.
It was good enough in 88, one of our most bitter pills ever. Remember that linebacker they had played for everyone? Was it Marty Moore? Was that his name?
Now, the one I remember is Wesley Woodyard,
yeah,
who was really
LaGrange.
Good.
He was a terrific player. That was a miss for us.
Yeah, he was one of those tackling machines.
Yes.
I don't remember Marty Moore, though. I remember Jared Lorenzen, but he played offense.
Boy, I think he's got a reality show out now. He's like 4 bills.
He's trying. It's a show where he's trying to lose weight. All right, moving on to the 5-5. Jeff, Georgia's toughest game this season will be against blank. Farmer John said. Farmer's daughter said.
I think all these road games are going to be difficult. Missouri really worries me. I think the best team Georgia plays is either going to be Florida or Auburn, though.
Yeah, I think, like, the answer is Auburn. I mean, the game being in Athens really doesn't matter for that rivalry. And it's like Auburn's the best team on Georgia's schedule. That's going to be the toughest one to win. So, yeah, I think the answer is Auburn.
I love all this talk about South Carolina upsetting us.
They're not beating us.
And Georgia fans, don't talk smack. Just go in there, quiet. And
yeah, I'm more worried about the Missouri game than I am South Carolina.
There's just something about Missouri, too. It's, you know, South Carolina, you're in a bus going over there, and it's, you're flying out to Missouri. You're going to the Midwest. It just doesn't have an SEC feel there.
Well, and I feel like how it plays out is we go and just handle South Carolina, and we beat them. And then you get to the Missouri game, and suddenly, it becomes that situation where, okay, Georgia proved it against South Carolina.
I know.
I'm not picking against them now. And then that's where you get lulled to sleep, and Missouri then just stuns you.
And plus, the way it's gone in that series, it's been an every other year deal with them, right? They beat us in 13. The game in 15 was 9-6. Well, then it was 16. We won 28-27.
Yeah.
Then last year we wound up winning by 25. So, you know, basically, so 13, 14, 15, 3 out of 4 years, it was a loss and a 3-point win and a 1-point win. And then, you know, we blew them out there 34-0. So, you know, we've handled them by 21, by 34, and by 25, but we've also beaten them by 1, by 3, and lost to them.
And also, by handling them by 21, that game was like tied after the third quarter, wasn't it?
The 1-12?
Yeah.
We were losing 20-17 with 45 seconds to go in the third quarter.
Right.
We scored the last 24 points.
Yeah. So that's when, you know, like handling them by 21. Like,
We scored to go up. I think it was Marlon Brown caught a TD. Then we stopped and we had a long field goal drive. Then Jarvis had, I guess, was it a?
It was a.
It was a pick that he almost ran back and we scored.
And then he
stripped him.
Yeah.
And we punched in the kind of clincher there. But yeah, Jarvis Jones pretty much won that game. Yeah, that was not an. I mean, just like last year. I mean, that game was still. You know, it was still a little edgy in the fourth quarter. When they got that last touchdown to make it 47-28, it's like, golly, we're going to probably like to punch in one more, which thankfully we did.
Yeah. And then we went for two. Or was that, that was earlier.
Trying to get to 55.
Yeah.
You know?
Trying to cover that second half line, too.
Yeah, just got a tweet from Rodney saying, can we take Jarvis up there again? Yeah, he was just awesome.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, finally we'll wrap up the 5-5. Tiger Woods has tweeted, it is on, Jeff, the match Tiger versus Phil Thanksgiving weekend, Las Vegas. Will you watch that?
Very little.
Yeah, I feel like Thanksgiving weekend is not ideal for that because there's too much. That's a great weekend for college football, and then there's obviously the NFL the next day. So
Now, had Tiger won the PGA – and if Mickelson had won the British Open like he did in 2013, then there might be something to it. But, you know, you got two guys who've had great careers in their 40s playing heads up. I remember when the Skins game came out, and I think it was 82, and that was a Palmer Nicklaus player in Watson. I believe that was Thanksgiving weekend, but it was still, you know, the big four there, and it was the skin, so they had it had a hook to it. It wasn't just a heads up.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. This, My buddy Craig in Greenville, by the way, just tweeted in. He said, these people up here convince the Gamecocks will beat us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won't.
Yeah. All right. Well, good.
Yeah.
Thank
I mean,
you,
that's
Craig.
that's a nasty trap South Carolina has set for themselves in the past. Riding, you know, a lot of high hopes on Georgia to make or break that season early on. What happens, though, when you lose that game?
I remember
you lose to Marshall the next week then.
I was going up to speak in Anderson in 2003, and they were so – Clemson fans were so convinced, oh, we're going to beat Georgia. You know, they lost everything. Who was that corner they had? Was it Justin Miller?
Yeah.
Oh, this guy. They go, he'll cover it. Georgia's not going to. And then the first play was Green to Fred for the long touch. We beat him 30-0. But I was just listening to talk radio going up there, and I just was just smiling. They were so convinced they were going to crush us.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm starting to really not feel a whole lot of tension for that game and haven't been for a while.
I love it.
All right. That's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.